This is an ABC podcast.
Our stories will fade if young people don't spend time with the elders back home. You know, our history is verbal, but in this day and age, we can afford to let our grandparents die with their stories. And so he's urging young people to sit with their bubu, sit with their grandfathers or grandmothers and record those, you know, stories in the iPhone or recorder with the modern day equipment that, you know, young people have. Use those to record those stories. And that's, you know, the best way to preserve our stories, because we cannot go back to the village all the time to take our young ones to the village.
Well, it seems like our grandparents foretold that we would come into a lot of environmental problems now, the way plastic was back in, 20, 30 years ago. They were already predicting then and telling us that packaging is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem if you over harvest and you don't regrow, and not looking after your sea, not looking after the fish, not looking after the sea where the fish live in, how you treat your coral. It's a wonder that they didn't listen to the elders back then.
Our grandmothers are a great source of wisdom and play a nurturing and vital role in our lives. They don't just help bring us up, spoil us, or keep us in line, but they also pass on vital knowledge to help us understand our environment and our culture. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's remember the stories our grandmothers told us. We're joined today by the host of ABC's One Talk program and our sister's very own legend, Hilda Wayne.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's great to be back home, I guess. Thank you, Tro.
And the host of ABC's Culture Compass, Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki.
Oh, Talofa Lava from Samoa. It's an honor for me to be joining you ladies today.
So we'll get into our questions. Can we start by hearing a bit about where you ladies grew up?
Well, I'm from Western Islands, and that's where my dad is from, and my mom is from the Enga province of Papua New Guinea. So I grew up in the Western Islands and basically lived there my whole, you know, young life until I went to university. So subsistence farming, families, gardening, anything island, you know, child does is what I grew up knowing and lived out my life there as a young child. And then I went to university. So, Western Islands is where I was born and raised.
And how about you, Sala?
I was born in Samoa and raised here. And I think most of my childhood memories are of all my grandmothers, because I have three grandmothers, and my younger childhood days were spent with them, going to funerals and weddings. And I was so lucky I got to grow up out in the villages as well as in the main town of Apia. So it was a very colorful bringing up for myself as well.
And Sala, what was one of your fondest memories with your grandmother?
Oh, I can't say one grandmother. I have to tell you, my mother had two mothers. So she had, her two mothers were Auntie Sala, that was her father's sister, and Mama Tunu. So to me, those were my two grandmothers on her side. And on my father's side, my father's mother was Grandma Ains. And so I've got a whole range of experiences with these three ladies growing up. I don't know where to start.
True.
But, As a child, I got to be like a bag carrier for my Auntie Sala and my Mama Tunu, so that when they go to funerals or family gatherings, they would take me along as their little bag carrier. So I'd be the little one carrying these heavy bags, sitting next to these two old ladies who would speak and were very well respected within all our families that they were connected to and wherever they took me. So we got the best of times with them. And my grandma Ains on my dad's side, well, she was a jack of all trades. She taught me plumbing. She taught me how to shoot a rifle. She taught me how to ride a horse. how to love animals, and all that kind of stuff. So I think I was really lucky to have a whole range of things going through my life as I was growing up, from, say, right from the day one till I left Samoa to go to college. And I don't know whether it's because I was the oldest of my parents' children, I was the oldest of all the siblings, or whether they were just trying to give my mother and father a break by taking me with them. But I seem to be have spent a lot of time with them growing up.
You are lucky. How about you, Hilda?
I am also very blessed. And Sala is right. There's so much to, you know, you can't just pinpoint one thing, you know, that's special, because it's like so special with our grandparents and especially our grandmothers as girl children. And yeah, from my mother's side, we call our grandmothers Apuri. And from Hagen is Api. And they gave me special names too. They used to call me Punduk in Hagen and Londem in Engen. So, yes, my best childhoods were running around following them into the garden. And I've recently taken up making balloons over the Christmas holidays, last Christmas. And I had a certain nostalgia because I'm going to get emotional.
Me too.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't learn this in school. I started making a billum for myself and just twisting the rope, just thinking of what my grandmother taught me, you know? And that's something that I didn't make for about, you know, since I came to Australia. And to start making the billum again, you know, just thought of my grandmother's face, her lap, how we used to sit by the fire and how she twist the rope. Then outside of the home, how to make a garden, you know. The woman I am today is because of these, you know, values, the skills that my Wumeri or grandmother taught me. So it's just a special feeling when I think of my grandmother and grandmothers. They're like the custodians of stories, skills, gardening skills, bilum skills, how to behave during a funeral, how to behave during a feast, you know. I am who I am because, I mean, I'm sure many other women in around the Pacific are thinking the same. The special connection and bond we have with our Bubu Mary and our grandmothers is what set us up for life, I guess. So it's been, yeah, wonderful, wonderful thinking of my grandmothers, and then to talk about, you know, them today is, yeah, pretty special to me.
Thank you, Hilda. I'd like to ask Hilda, the name that your grandmother called you, did it mean anything in your language?
So in the Western Islands, I'm called Pundul. So from what I get, I'm a bit light-skinned in the family. So Pundul is like, she was describing my skin color. I was a bit light-skinned, so that's what she described me. And in the Engen, calling me Londem was somebody who came from far away. So when I go to my mother's place, which is Enga, which is, you know, about 2 hours drive from Western Islands, an hour drive from Western Islands, my bubu would come out of her heart and she would say, "Oh, Londem," you know, and then she would say in language that there she comes. Somebody from far away.
I see. Thank you for that. And Sala, how did your relationship with your grandmother change as you were growing up?
Oh, I don't think it really changed very much. Our relationship, we were very close. And then I lost my Mama Tunu at 15, which was very hard for me because she's the one who took me in as a baby, really. And I can never remember meeting them for the first time. You know, they were always in my life. After I lost my Mama Tunu, then my Auntie Sala stepped in and took over that role. Cause Auntie Sala never had children of her own. So I had become like her own granddaughter as well. But ran with my grandma Ains, the one who taught me how to ride horses, and our relationship just grew stronger as she was also telling me about her when I became a teenager. She would tell me about how she was as a teenager and what she was going through as well. She understood teenage years very well, and that to me was a special connection, because it felt at the time that nobody else understood me as a teenager, going through all these different swings in your hormones and being naughty. And I was being called, my auntie Sala would call me Sala Panganga. Like Sala Panganga was, Panganga would mean like naughty, like a cursed child or something. When I think back to it, I think, man, I was really naughty. But these old ladies, they really held me in line. And I had so much respect for them. I didn't really want to overstep my boundaries because of that relationship that we had.
Yeah. And how about you, Hilda?
Yeah, look, that's true. Looking back, the grandmother was like the disciplinarian as well. And if we were, you know, stepped out of line, or if we jumped up a food, or, you know, something that is taboo to do as a girl child, they would slap us on the end lovingly and say, oh, no, not like that. And then they'd throw in a few harsh words, but, you know, it comes from a place of love. So, yeah. And then also, I'd like to point out that not only is like our grandmothers just, you know, from our fathers, so whether it's, you know, our dad's mom or our mom's mom, but it's extended. When we call our grandparents, it's like the extended elders in the village who also lovingly share those knowledges with us as well.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
So, Hilda, what kind of cultural stories did your grandmother tell you?
Yeah, they would tell us where our origins were from, you know. They would trace back our lineages and, you know, tell us that our ancestors came from a rock or a mountain, and then the, you know, where the origin of Otaro is. For example, in Sark Valley, where my mom is from, my grandmother would say that the special taro that was near the land, my grandfather's land, there's a little pond there. So my grandmother would tell me that those are the tears from a mother who cried because the son wanted some taro and she couldn't give him all the taro because the best taros had to go to the chief. And then and the son must have left the mother or something like that, and the mother started crying, something like that, and that's where the pond is. So those beautiful stories, brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah. And how about you, Sala?
Absolutely, Hilda. Like Hilda says, there's so many stories that they did pass down to us. And they would tell us our legends. And of course, as Hilda's saying about the taro, the favorite story was how we got the coconut and you know, the coconut tree, and they came from the head of an eel. We call him the tuna. And when you look at the two eyes when you look at the coconut itself, there's the two eyes in the mouth. And so every time we'd get a young coconut to drink, we pierce the mouth of it. And as kids listening to this legend, it goes something like, and when you drink a coconut from the mouth, that's me kissing you, whatever. So we always used to, and say, oh, look, you're kissing the tuna.
That's cute.
And it just made it so much fun. And it did. And she did. And our genealogies as well were stories that were told and retold and just repeated so that we would understand and keep it with us. And that was another important thing that I learned from them, was how they kept telling the same story over and over again until we get it. Because our traditions, we don't pass down by writing. Through oral. And it felt like, as you know, as we were growing up, it felt like they kept repeating themselves. And I was like, I'm the one in the background rolling my eyes, like, why do they keep talking about this? And now, as I become an adult, I understand why, and how they kept repeating things so that we would carry that knowledge on with us, which was very special. And that came from all my grandmothers, in such a way that they did things. They just kept repeating it and just patiently telling us over again. And now looking back on it, I really appreciate that.
Thank you. That's so true, Sala. Yeah. On that note, it's you know, it's lovely how our language captures our cultures, especially when we're trying to say things that actually don't really translate very well to English. And Sala, what are some of your favorite sayings where your grandmother used to say?
One thing that was always drummed into me is how to behave, like how your etiquette and the protocols, especially the word too low. When we say too low, that's excusing you in that space. When you say too low as you walk in front of people, or when you're reaching across somebody, or even if you go to hold someone's hand, someone you don't know, and we always say too low, like excuse me, or please excuse me while I go to hold your hand, or please excuse me while I walk in front of you. And this is something I don't notice in the Western culture as much. Like when I come to live in Australia, people look at me funny when I walk in front of them and I say, excuse me. Those sort of things that we keep with us wherever we go away is drummed into us when we're very small. And it's something that we appreciate when we leave home, because we understand that there is that space in between us that's very sacred. And how you say that word excuses you from invading that space.
Yeah. And Hilda, what are some of the sayings that your grandmother used to say?
There's a lot, to be honest, a lot of things that our grandmother can teach us and tell us, and it's repeated over and over again, like Sala mentioned. But yeah, I think what she really instilled, you know, my grandmother's instilled in me, and I guess it lives on to this day, is respect, how we behave in the village, you know, in front of the elders, the way we treat our food, not getting much out of the ground. You know, if you're going to the cocoa garden, and we don't just go and harvest anything and everything that's in the land, we just get enough, and so we mindful of how we behave in front of the elders mostly. So we are judged as, you know, how we become a woman is judged on, you know, I mean, how we interact with the elders in the village and our parents, and how we look after the home. So there's a lot of things that I can pinpoint, but to me, how to respect as a woman in the village community, I see that as earning back respect from the community. And that's one thing that I learned from my grandmother's that, yeah, I hold very dear.
Yeah. And Hilda, how do you stay connected with your grandmother when you moved away from home?
Well, they sadly passed away before I went to uni. So I guess the best parts of my childhood, I was blessed to have grown up with them. And like I said, yeah, what they taught me, I would never learn that at school. Being a modern woman now and seeing the world, I just value so much what I learned growing up from my grandmothers. And but they have passed away and before I went to uni, so I've been blessed.
Yeah. And how about you, Sala?
Oh, it's like Hilda says, once we left to go overseas, they passed on. But my grandma Ains, she lived till about 90. So I was able to come and go and come and visit her and go. And our connections were always that love for animals and everything that she passed down to us about how to behave and how to be respectful, really. But every time when I came home and she was alive, it was always lovely to just sit in her presence, even though we weren't talking, or she'd be, because by that time she had lost her hearing. So it was really hard to talk to her. You had to yell, you had to yell really loud. But it was always nice to, and the sitting quietly in their presence as we grew older was very special for me as well.
You know, so much of the cultural knowledge our grandmothers pass on to us, and it's connected to where we live and where we come from, our local environment. Are the changes in the environment and, you know, now with the climate change impacting the way this knowledge is shared or understood?
Well, it seems like our grandparents foretold that we would come into a lot of environmental problems now due to the way the rubbish is, the way plastic was back in, 20, 30 years ago, they were already predicting then and telling us the packaging is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem if you, if you over harvest and you don't regrow, and not looking after your sea, not looking after the fish, not looking after the sea where the fish live in, how you treat your coral. All this was already predicted back then. And now as we've grown into this, in this past 20 years, seeing the changes that have come about and seeing the climate warriors trying to salvage what there is left of our environment, it's a wonder that they didn't listen to the elders back then.
Yeah, that's so true. And Hilda, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I remember my grandfather would go to the Karuka, to harvest the Karuka in Enga province. And what they normally do is they don't take more than they need. And also my grandmothers, we would go and into the garden and I'd see a big cocoa, or there's another cocoa in the, mountain patch that she's trying to dig, and she's leaving that in there. You know, that's a way of preserving and not getting more than we need. But this has really changed. Like Sala mentioned, the turn of the century, people are just getting so much without giving back to the land and letting the land recover. The increase in population, I guess, and the demand for more food is making it really hard to use old ways of conserving and preserving land and getting just enough of what we need.
Yeah. And how are you continuing the legacy of your grandmother in your lives today? I'll start with you, Hilda.
Well, in my daily life and interaction with people, I still maintain, who I am as a Pacific Islands woman, and the way I interact with individuals who cross my path, I just have to uphold what I've learned, and also I love my gardening as well, backyard gardening, some of the skills that I continue to maintain, and I teach my son, tell him, why I put the, a seed in a certain way into the ground, what I do, why I leave the, a seedling to rest for a while or so on. So, yeah, sadly, I try my best, but I hope that my sons would learn that, spending more time with the boo-boos back home. But at the moment, I try to be the, best version of, what my grandmother taught me.
Yeah. How about you, Sala?
Yeah. Oh, everything. I think most recently, I was blessed with another title from my grandmother's grandmother. So she would be my great great grandmother's side of the family. And wow. It has been wonderful for me to take it on and to go back out there and to understand where she lived, my great great grandmother, where she came from and her family and that side of the island, which I've never sort of been to, and I never understood that I was connected to that side. And I'm very excited and to carry on that because of my great great grandmother's connection through my grandmother, and it makes me very proud. And there's a lot of learning still to be done, and hopefully I can pass all these down to my children too. And I keep encouraging my kids, try and come back more often. Now you've only got one Nana left, and she's also got many many good stories to share with them. So it's been a very special time for me too, to spend time with my mum while I'm here in Samoa. And yeah, I'm just really grateful for a lot of things, really. And really, it's just carrying on that, living the stories that they've been telling us. This is where you come from, go and visit this pool, go and see this place. And it's been really good for me to go and reconnect.
Something I heard from somebody that I wanted to mention here. There was a prolific PNG writer. His name is Bakabina. And he writes about, legends and so forth, and writes about stories and, the history of our genealogy and our ancestors and so forth. Now, one thing that he mentioned when I spoke to him was that he actually became, he was really serious about what he was saying, and that was that our stories will fade if young people don't spend time with the elders back home. And he encouraged young people to record, our history is verbal, but in this day and age, we can afford to let our grandparents die with their stories. And so he's urging young people to sit with their bubu, sit with their grandfathers or grandmothers, and record those, you know, stories in the iPhone or recorder with the modern day equipments that, you know, young people have. Use those to record those stories. And that's, you know, the best way to preserve our stories, because we cannot go back to the village all the time to take our young ones to the village. But if these are stored in recorded, you know, format, that can be able to shared with, you know, young people who are especially away from home.
That's so true.
So true.
Yeah.
Aww. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for making time for Sisters.
Thank you very much, you ladies. Thank you, Hilda. Thank you.
Good morning, Rusala.
That's Hilda Wayne, host of ABC's One Talk, and Afa Masanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, the host of ABC's Culture Compass, and our resident office auntie. Thank you so much for joining me, Natasha Methen, for Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia, a weekly show by Pacific Island Women for Pacific Island Women, where we get together to talk about the issues that are important to us. If you've missed an episode of the show, catch up on our podcast. Just search for Sisters Let's Talk wherever you get your podcasts, or key us into your favorite search engine. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Methen. Our producer is Rachel Bongiorno, and Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna is our executive producer. Sisters Let's Talk is produced on Darumbal, Yagara and Turubo land, and the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to elders past and present.